This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
Well, we are at the actual midway point, it looks like, for most teams in the area. Most teams are halfway through their schedule. And we finally got to see a lot of local teams playing a lot of other local teams. And it was a lot of fun, exciting stuff, some great storylines that really came out of this week. And I think that we got to lead off with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. And he's a big part, literally a big part of the biggest story of the week. And that's Walt Stribling, Fluvanna County's big offensive lineman. He's got to be the guy after a week where he just paved the way for Fluvanna County.
Yeah, I saw him last week against Madison. You saw him this week against Monticello. And you notice that side of the line, you're like, oh, they got some beef over there. And it's just, I think, sort of identity-wise, Fluvanna is trying to create something new. I mean, they've constantly been trying to find something there, and they might have found something that's stuck.
Yeah.
Offensively. And just grinding out these wins. I mean, that's the way they're doing it. They're doing it on the ground, and it's hard-nosed running. And, to beat a team like Monticello that they hadn't beat since 2001, to do it in that way sends a message, I think, to the rest of the JD that, like, hey, these aren't going to be fluke wins. This is happening.
Yeah, I think what's really exciting to watch for Fluvanna, and Stribling in particular, he's a big guy, but he has pretty good feet for a big guy. He gets out there, he moves. They can kind of run in behind him. When you're running wing T, you're doing a lot of dive stuff that's up the middle, but you have to have somebody who can seal the edge when you do want to come, like, sort of with that buck sweep action that comes back across. You've got to have a guy who can either reach or who can block down, who can do a lot of different things. You have to be a versatile offensive lineman just with what that blocking requires. And Stribling is that guy, just a massive guy. They've done a really good job. Mike Sheridan is the offensive line coach now, and he's done a really nice job with this group. They protected really well. They opened some holes. They didn't put up huge numbers against Monticello, but some of that came down to that they were trying to burn clock at times. Some of that came down to that they had, a couple of things just didn't really go their way, or they had turnovers on downs, but they moved the ball, and then they kind of, turn it over in the red zone a little bit. But they really did a nice job of coming up with big plays when they had to. And when they had to protect Kobe Edmonds at quarterback, they did. He did a really nice – he's 3 of 4, 2 touchdowns. He did a really nice job, especially off waggle action stuff where they would kind of reverse him out and roll him way out. And he just hit a couple of those really nice. And then he drew one up in the dirt right there before the end of the first half where – he said that he looked at his guy Demetrius Christmas, who you saw have a huge week last week, but he made a huge catch right there at the end of the first half, a tremendous play where he kind of went up over Monticello's defensive back, and Kobe Edmonds really did a nice job of putting it up there. But part of the reason that Edmonds is able to get this done is because Stribling is protecting him, this whole unit's protecting him, and you got to give it up for what they've done. It's 3-1 for the first time since 2005, and the first win over Monticello in, 17 years?
Yep.
Tremendous.
First JD win since 2013.
Yeah, I mean, all the firsts last week for Fluvanna, I would argue they're probably not done. I think they've got several more winnable games. They got a really tough test this week when they go up against Orange County, and that leads us nicely. Big time segue here.
Yeah,
offensive player of the week. It's hard not to argue with what Jalen Alexander brought to the table.
Weeks ago we talked about like what a typical Jalen Alexander game is. It's usually somewhere like that 150, whatever. It really
they're really
matter.
Good games.
Yeah. So against Charlottesville, 15 carries, 231 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He had a big boy game, and his numbers on the year are pretty crazy. 26 for 159, 20 for 183, 22 for 127. So it all rounds out to 83 touches, 700 yards. That's 8.4 yards a clip. He's averaging 175 a game. you know. Yeah, he's just toting the ball.
He sat the entire second half. That 231 was in the first half against CHS.
And against Eastern View, when he had another big game there, too, he sat in the second half because the score had gotten out of hand. They had no sense in getting him more dinged up.
Give it up, Jesse Lohr, by the way. We've seen too many times over the years where guys who are in games late that don't have to be in games late, we're not calling anybody out, but the Kyrie Kuntz situation a few years back certainly comes to mind.
They're still kicking themselves.
Weaves in there late. They're still kicking themselves over that one. And maybe he shouldn't have been in there. Maybe he should have been in, whatever. Injuries happen. But they are protecting Jalen Alexander. They're doing a great job of getting out of him what they need to get out of him. They're using him really strategically in defensive situations. I love what they're doing. Jesse Lohr is doing an incredible job of managing this.
Yeah, and that was a big comeback win from them because they sort of had the egg there with Spotsylvania, which I don't think any of us really saw coming. So they get back into it and really establish themselves on the ground. When he's running like that, it's just hard to keep pace with Orange. And so Flubana, here's your chance. This is your opportunity. You get Jalen Alexander. You got to find a way to keep him from 175, his average. That's going to be...
Good luck.
Yeah. That's
tough. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do it, yeah. But we got to split up the offensive war because another guy had a big day on Saturday. Woodbury Forest, Duquise Carter. This guy, if you haven't gotten a chance to see him play, he's super fun. He is super fast. Duquise Carter can absolutely move.
Woodbury Forest, just like it used to be, like linebacker U kind of thing for a long time, and then suddenly has just turned into like wide receiver.
Terrell Janna.
Yeah, we thought Zach Roderick, like that's the coolest thing in the world. Woodbury can air it out, and then he gets Terrell Janna. Oh my God, look at this offense! And then now Carter, and Carter can just fly, absolutely fly. But yeah,
and we left Khalid Thomas out there. Pretty good
little slot option.
Yeah. Harvard guy, right?
Yeah. Eight catches, 188 yards, four touchdowns. Unfortunately, they fell to Landon. But on the year, he's got, in three games, 25 catches for 466, and that's pretty good.
That's really good.
Yeah, and he's done it with different quarterbacks. You know, he's got Locklear this year. It was Will Weidman last year. The year before, he's got Lincoln
Great
Stone.
Great point. I didn't even think about that. So, like, three different years, three different starters at quarterback. Duquise Carter just keeps churning it out.
Yeah, and he's just such a great deep threat. I mean, he's got a top-end speed that you're just like, I can't believe he can get faster than that. And he just keeps going. So, yeah, they've got themselves a nice little weapon to play with there up in Woodbury.
Yeah, we're going to dig into Woodbury in a minute, but, you flip over Defensive Player of the Week. Time to give it up for the defensive backs in this one.
Yeah, so, I mean, over at the Louisa Albemarle game, Alex Washington had the kind of impact on the game by only touching the ball, a couple times. But his interception, which comes there in the end of the second quarter, 36 yards to the house, that gave Louisa the lead. Like, Louisa was just not playing that well offensively early on. To be up 13-7 just because your defense is scoring touchdowns. Austin Sims had the first pick six. Nice play from the linebacker there. But Washington's pick really just sort of turned the tide of that game, and all of a sudden the offense came back out, was clicking on a different level. Jarrett Hunter with a pair of touchdowns, just sort of grinding away. Washington is a young dude on a defense that doesn't need any help getting better. They've already got so many good options there. For him to be a part of that unit, and he can also, on the other side of the ball, come in and take in some carries. We saw that in the second half. He had a 97-yard touchdown there. But defensively, for them to have a young, developing talent like that, that they're really excited about, that should scare people. Because that unit's already got some talent in it. Jarrett Hunter had an interception in that game as well. It's going to be interesting to see going forward what these guys are capable of. Because you can't run. Right now, you can't run against Louisa. Nobody's been able to do it. So you're going to pick on the secondary, and these guys are going to develop even more because people want to try and pass on Louisa.
Yeah, the thing is, it was cool to see Washington get some love on Twitter from some recent legends.
Yeah.
Like my man Joe Whalen stepping in there and showing some love to the young guy. I mean, it's very cool to see what they built at Louisa. It just kind of permeate everything. It's even social media. It's everywhere. The Louisa guys all have so much love for each other. It's just exciting to see. We're going to dig more into Louisa in a second, too. But the other guy that we got to give this to defensively, Prophet Harris.
Busy day.
A similar impact as Washington, touching the ball in a lot of different ways. And the two picks were just huge. The pick six really, that was the one that ended up being the difference maker, and broke on the ball really nice. And it's tough because Malachi Fields made a great play for Monticello, stepping up in the pocket to deliver that ball. But I think just in sort of the move that he made to kind of get that ball there, maybe lost Prophet Harris for a second, which is easy to do. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but he is so relentless and so tough. I don't think even we, you know, I think we had him as a first-team All-JD guy last year, but maybe we didn't realize just how good Prophet Harris is as a defensive back. I mean, the guy is tremendous, and the pick six was huge. He had the other pick where he went up and got it. He does it a lot of different ways. That, you know, the pick six was on a sort of short, intermediate-type route, and the other one was on a deep ball. I mean, he can kind of, he has great ball skills, can kind of go up and get it anyway. And not defense, but the reverse that they ran to Prophet Harris that finished it, helped finish it off at the end and helped them melt the clock, was also huge. So a really big day for him and a big day for Fluvanna County across the board.
Yeah, just a big 2 weeks for them. I mean, the way they Wednesday against Madison, and then they come back a couple days, a week later, and pick up another win. And, yeah, 3-1 just feels pretty remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. So really fun to watch that play out. But what we want to dig into now is sort of breaking down the Jefferson District at the midway point of the season. And we're only, you know, one or two games in for most teams in the JD. We've been through one full cycle. But it's pretty obvious at this point. We just talked about it with Washington that the top tier is Louisa County, and they're sort of sitting in a class by themselves.
Yeah, everybody's playing catch up to them. You know, that Albemarle game's close early on, and Louisa does what they do and slowly grind you away. It'll be very interesting to see how people treat Albemarle out of that four-week grinder that they've been through, of great teams to play, and then playing two games in a week like that. I think people will underestimate Albemarle. A lot of people at Louisa were like, we have to be careful. They've got some weapons. But for Louisa to come out there and, you know, the score doesn't lie, 40-7, they took control of that game and never let go. We're going to see a lot more of that. I mean, it's pretty cool that we got that Albemarle game up front, and now we get them against Western, another one of the teams that we think is pretty good. But, yeah, Tier 1, if we're doing the JD in tiers, Tier 1 is Louisa, and everybody else is in a different one.
What is it about, you know, we've talked about Louisa for 2 years now, where they've just been the class of the district.
Yeah, this will be their third straight, like, big win total that we'll see from them. Like,
what is it that is... I mean, they're operating at a really high level. They're executing at a really high level, but it takes something special to bring it every week.
This game in particular, you could see it. Brandon Smith is a senior leader on a fourth and goal play. You know, at the 1 yard line, and, you know, he just turns to his guys like, "I just need one more, guys. I just need one more play, and then, you know, we'll hand the ball off and worry about whatever we have to worry about after that. But just give me one more." And they come up and they get a great stop. And you're just seeing that kind of leadership from, you know, you expect it from a player like that, but when it happens, it means something. And then on the sidelines, I couldn't, like, begin to explain how calm that sideline was for Louisa. Like, when things weren't going well, there was just no real, like, anger or buzz
about it. They don't come apart.
Yeah, they're just not becoming unhinged. They're very patient. The coaching staff is very patient with them. I mean, administratively, the guys at Louisa, like, wow, this is like the transition here from Mark Fisher to Will Patrick has been seamless, and Patrick has really embraced the job. The kids have embraced him.
It also shows you how much, and Patrick was a part of what Fisher was doing.
Yeah,
especially these last few years.
Yeah, and it's so. His post game talk, he's talking. He's like, imagine what we would look like if we played, you know, relatively perfectly in all three sectors of the game, because they had some issues on offense and some issues on special teams. What would it look like? And so he's getting those kids to believe that, you know, they're curious. All right, let's. So this is a team that's very talented, but also one that is very interested in growing. They don't see the ceiling yet, and I think that's important. You know, that's how good teams get great, is when they keep pushing themselves. So we'll see what they can do against Western. That's a pretty interesting matchup. Just a lot of differences there. You know, Western in the past has been able to come out and sling the ball around. Do you go that way with Louisa? Who knows? It's going to be a fun one.
Interesting. We talk about if you're looking at a second tier behind Louisa, Western Almar is a part of that.
Yeah.
Especially after that win on the road against Palatin. That's a really good victory for them.
Yeah, I think Western's come out and really really changed things away from the previous 2 years. They had some struggles.
Different look.
But you can see the results. They're there. They're beating teams that they should beat, and they're playing consistent football. And that's been the issue in the JD, has been getting consistent play. So to see them turn things around and get back to kind of more of the 2013, 2014 Western teams that we used to see, that's good for the district.
As far as win results, sure, but like stylistically,
it couldn't be more different. Yeah, couldn't be different.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a wild thing. And that's what's interesting about this Louisa game, is you're going to see a Western team that in some ways is trying to beat Louisa at its own game. Mm-hmm. They're going to play defense, and they're going to try and control the clock. They've had really good success so far with Austin Shiflett. He's playing really well. Carter Shiflett got in the mix a little more last week, running the ball, a couple of touchdowns, threw for one. Anytime you get a win at Palatin, I think it's a extremely difficult task. To get it done is really impressive. And now they get another big challenge. And I think that this one is interesting because, like I said, they're trying to beat Louisa at their own game a little bit. And that, I don't know, we haven't seen, the teams that have given Louisa trouble have been the teams that can move it and spread it and throw it all over the place. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you stop stringing those together and then Louisa bleeds you to death. But I think that's what's going to be interesting to see, is whether Western can kind of handle that. On the road, and it's a big opportunity for growth for them.
Yeah, so you have Louisa at that first tier, and then Western sort of in the second tier. Maybe you could split that up and say there's a 2B in that tier with Orange and Flubana.
Yeah, let's say, hey, how about this? We're talking about a second tier of the Jefferson District, and it includes Flubana County.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, there's movement in the district. it's always fun to just see change for the sake of change. So this is fantastic for us. And for everybody in Flubana, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, Flubana and Orange, I mean, there's still some question marks when you look at Flubana. Like, they got to play the big guys coming up. So if you can shut down a Chaelin Alexander, you belong in this second tier.
Yeah.
With Orange, Orange has been one of those teams that has the talent, and it's just getting consistency there. I mean, that first drive against Eastern View, they look great, but that Eastern View team is really good. Sort of a similar game, the way what happened with Louisa and Albemarle. Orange comes out strong, and then slowly but surely Eastern View has its way. And then following on the road to Spotsylvania, sort of trying to argue that against the two wins. I mean, they just pounded Charlottesville, absolutely pounded them. And then they beat Culpeper.
Worked over Culpeper in the first half and then kind of held on after that.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe you chalk Spotsy up to being kind of emotionally exhausted, I think, on some level, which would be understandable with everything Orange has been through. But they really got back on track in a big way. They changed it up at quarterback a little bit. It's going to be fun to see what they kind of have going forward. And now they face a Flubana team that is going to try to control the clock, run the wing tee, get some key sparks at key moments from Kobe Edmonds, who looked really good. And then you got Christmas, and then you got Nate Smith, and then you got Prophet Harris, and then you got this sort of parade of running backs coming out there trying to run behind our guy, the CNG Road Grader of the Week, and Walsh Dribbling. I mean, Flubana has a little bit of mix, and the defense, I thought, played really well against Monticello, considering how athletic they are. They did a nice job of kind of hemming in Trenton Johnson. They didn't let him run a lot. Malachi Fields, wasn't able to get loose all the time. I don't know. I mean, you got to feel Flubana County, at least for a week, looked like a team that was really sound on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. They looked like they were really taking care of business, and they were physical, man. There were two hits. One of them, Colby Martin, laid guy out, forced a fumble. And then there was another one over on the Monticello sideline that was a big pop. I mean, just a lot of really interesting stuff happening with Flubana. They're very physical. They've got an identity, and it's pretty hard-nosed. And so it's going to be interesting to see an Orange County team that prides itself on running the ball well, how they kind of handle that in that matchup. But I think, no question about it, that second tier is Flubana, Western Orange in some order.
Yeah.
For now. Yeah,
for now.
Next week,
because
a lot of changes.
One of the teams we sort of, based on record, you have to put them in that third tier. But right now, it's sort of Charlottesville, Albemarle, Monticello, sort of trying to come out, crawl out of the basement there. I think Albemarle, you just stay the course. I think you're going to be fine. If Albemarle finishes with a 6-4 record, I will not be surprised.
No.
So right there with you. I think they have the talent to do so. Charlottesville and Monticello, you've got some adjustments to make.
Yeah.
They're capable. All these teams are capable of winning.
Monticello is super young. Charlottesville's young at everywhere but Sabias Foley, pretty much. And they're banged up. They've had, you know, that kind of struggles, which makes things more complicated for them. But Foley's still putting up numbers that are, you know.
Oh, he had one run against Orange where he was just like, ow.
Yeah. He's tough, man. Sabias Foley continues to be a physical presence. So you never know. Like, you can get a week where everybody else on Charlottesville puts it together. They could shock you and be the team that we thought would be a 6-4 or 7-3 team this year. And maybe in some week somebody's going to run into
them. I think Monticello on that same page, Malachi Fields is dynamic enough of a playmaker that if the right things go on around him, Monticello can take down some teams that are riding a little too high and mighty and taking them for granted.
Yeah, you could have one of those weeks where, like, Monticello throws up 42 and you just can't stop him, you know, because Fields is finding Trenton Johnson. I mean, Monroe ran into that in week one. Mm-hmm. Monticello had that. So, yeah, all three of these, that's what's there's a lot of parity in the Jefferson District. You know, you could easily, in 2 or 3 weeks, flip the second tier and the third tier here.
By the time we're done this, there's going to be some teams that are really angry that they lost some of the games that they lost to. Because they just won games that they didn't think that they would lose.
Yeah.
I think that's great for the parity of the district. It makes things really fun. It's why you play the games.
It's going to affect seeding. I mean, we're already in that mix. Like, you know, you look at some of the losses, you know, especially like in Orange, Spotsylvania, that is going to be a loss that's going to impact seeding for them. Because
mm-hmm.
Orange is probably a playoff team, especially if Jalen Alexander keeps clipping along like he has. They're probably going to be in that mix. And, you know, they could be looking at, you know, the difference. You know, one of these losses can be the difference between a home game and a road game. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference maker in the playoffs. So a lot of teams with a lot of work. We got a lot of season left. But in the Jefferson District, like we said, it looks like a three-tier system right now that easily could be flipped in a couple of weeks. So if you step outside the JD and you switch gears and you look at the single-A teams, it was a big week for Buckingham and Monroe in particular.
Yeah, we'll start with Monroe. You know, coming into a matchup with Madison, there's always a lot there rivalry-wise. Monroe against Broadway had some issues. Some personnel issues. They were without some guys, but they come back and get the win over Madison, their first of the year. That's a good one for them. Madison, Elijah Lewis is slinging the ball around the field. Madison is another team, like, stay with the course. What they showed in that first half against Fluvanna 2 weeks ago was very promising. So I don't think this is a Madison team that should be written off. But yeah, Monroe. Alex Kinsey, when he has protection, he looks fantastic. And having Jaquan Wayne back, that was big. They need him to be able to go out there and make plays on both sides of the ball. So big win for them. Buckingham, I got to see them. That's a team that, you know, coming in sort of taking a couple tough losses, but they get back to 500. They were dealing with the injuries down there, and I think they've got it figured out right now with Walter Edwards just sort of being the bell cow and playing defense behind it. I mean, they're just running their goal line package and really just mauling people. Just absolutely good. Cole Edmonston, if it weren't for Walt Stribling, he'd be an easy CNG guy. He was an absolute animal in that game. Afterwards, the opposing coaches came up to him and sort of giving like, dude, you were killing us out there. and so that was great to see, you know, Buckingham having sort of one of those yeoman-like games. We get to see them against Goochland this week, which is awesome. That's sort of the game that you circle the most, the James River District. These teams have won all the James River District titles pretty much, you know, over the last decade. So we're going to see them. And that's a Goochland team that, if we were doing the tiers, would belong in that Louisa class. That they have shown early on that is a team that can play defense, the team can run the ball, and, you know, is always sound on special teams. They just get it done in all three phases of the game. So Buckingham, Goochland, that's going to be a tough one coming up. It's going to be at Goochland. Buckingham's last win against Goochland was 2015, but outside of that, it's really sort of been Goochland's rivalry. It's been fairly one-sided there. So Buckingham has the playmakers. These two teams are going to try and do the same thing to each other. I think with Buckingham, you stick with Edwards, and just hope that you can grind out 2 and 3 yards at a time, and then eventually Xavier Copeland, talented playmaker for them, can bounce one out. Or Deshaun Barty, that's another great name for them. He's one of those guys that can hit the edge and really make things happen. And we'll see if they can piece that together against a Goochland defense that has been nothing short of amazing. Sam Brooks is just a beast, an absolute beast. So it's going to be a fun matchup there.
Yeah, when you look, the other small school team, talk about Nelson County playing that independent schedule again, lost to Perry McClure. They do have a win. They picked up against Craig. They continue to develop. George Brown keeps putting up some pretty good numbers at quarterback, and he's the guy that has stepped in, and they were able to flex Bryce Wilson out to receiver and use him as a defensive back in a big way. But George Brown has done a really nice job. So a tall guy, really promising young sophomore, can run the ball, can sling it a little bit. Nelson County, like you talked about Madison, kind of keeping the course, even though the winds aren't picking up. Nelson County is going to keep the course. Matt Hicks has them headed in the right direction. They're going to keep developing, keep working on things.
So. I think we'll get to see them play each other.
We're coming up with a Nelson-Madison matchup. So that kind of knocks out all the public schools. Private school-wise, Covenant, Stab, both kind of getting on a roll right now in that 8-man. We could be headed for a collision course between – they're going to play again.
Yeah, we might get a third meeting.
Might get a third in championship.
I mean, we knew Covenant was going to be great at this sort of adjustment for 8-man based on the guys that they had.
Oh, talent-wise this year, there's no question that Covenant probably has the 3 or 4 most talented skill guys in the 8-man league.
Yeah, you got a pair of Sankers and a Rick Weaver. You're in good shape starting out.
That's a lot of firepower.
But St. Anne's has really adjusted well and has come out after sort of a little bit
running the ball.
Running the ball well. Now they're doing well.
Gabe Decker got going. 3 touchdowns, a really nice performance from Stab. They pounded, I believe, HRA, who plays Covenant this week. But they are going to all play in this 8-man tournament at the end of the year. And I think we could be headed towards a Covenant Stab type situation there. You got a chance to see Fork Union, St. Stephen, St. Agnes on a really muddy field for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was swamp-like conditions against SSSA. I mean, interesting game. Fork Union drives all the way down, gets the ball right at the 10-yard line with like 3 seconds left, and a pass gets knocked down the end zone. And so they're not able to go ahead or force overtime in that one. And that's a team still looking for its first win, but I feel like there's a lot of room for optimism there. Drew Hackenberg at quarterback, he was making some throws that were pretty impressive there. And obviously, when you're talking about a young quarterback, there's the room for improvement for him is huge. He's got a lot of opportunity to be a good one. Fork Union is just, I mean, Daniel Reynolds, really nice runner for them. He had a great long touchdown where he just broke loose. They just need more of it. I mean, they didn't give up too many big plays, I thought. But that field was tough. I mean, both teams were best when they were playing defense in that one. It was easier to do than playing offense. It's just handling the ball. I mean, it was absolutely just covered in mud.
And they've already flipped and moved their game against Norfolk Academy, which is a big opportunity, a good chance for them to get a win there. They play that now at Fluvanna County on Friday night, playing on the turf. So that won't be a problem anymore, and may help sling it around a little bit with Hackenberg back there. So
yeah, and the result is much closer than the previous week, so they're making the right improvements. Woodbury, we should be getting a chance to get a good look at them coming up soon, but they fell to Landon. They've played some really good teams. They've taken a Charlotte Latin team into overtime. That's a really good sign for them. We know what they have.
Beat St. Chris on the road on a game-winning field goal.
Yeah, so. And we know what they have offensively between DeKeese Carter and Kyle Bilodeau and Ben Locklear. And they've got a lot to work with. I think when it comes to prep league play, when we see them start playing, they've already done it to St. Chris, but when they get collegiate, when they get Fork Union, these guys have to really, your secondary is going to be challenged here. And that's going to be a fun one coming up.
And quick Woodbury note, we got their stats, and we got the defensive numbers from them. And one of the statistical categories from Alex Tisch out there and Scott Braswell, the head coach, Tisch put together a block destruction stat category. And I was like, all right, what is a block destruction? But he had already explained it to me. He'd already sent the email and said, like, it's just one that he made up where it's just about whether, I think he said you want to be the hammer instead of the anvil when it comes to attacking blocks and blowing things up. So a brand new stat out there. It's sort of the
high school sabermetrics.
Yeah, high school sabermetrics going on. It's the defensive version of a pancake is what it sounds like to me. So exciting to see. But Alex Tisch doing a nice job out there, and Scott Braswell. You know, I think that it's fun to see. We know what they've got offensively. You want to see that defense kind of come along. They've had some moments and they've been really good, but they're going to have to string some more together. But they're in a league that has a lot of offense, a lot of skill guys. So it's going to be, I think, the collegiate team they play has the Yinde Budd kid, who's like 6'6", wide receiver. So they got some work cut out for him coming up.
No, not an easy schedule that they put together.
No,
and
never.
It doesn't get much easier for them to be doing the same thing week to week.
And speaking of tough schedules, man, Blue Ridge goes up and plays Bishop O'Connell. That's a really tough matchup for them. They fall on the road. But Blue Ridge is going to start playing some different squads, and like they're seeing a very different schedule this year because the vast majority of their conference switched over to 8-man.
Yeah. I mean, you just had a bunch of football programs sort of, I mean, not evaporate's the wrong word because they're still around, but
yeah.
I mean, in Blue Ridge's case, like, who do we play now?
Yeah.
I mean, how many 11-man private schools are there now?
Yeah, and so they're going to keep finding some teams, but they've got some tough matchups, but hopefully that pays off for them and they can find a way to get in there and get in the Division II playoffs and make some stuff happen.
They've got North Cross at home. And you know, in that Foothill game, they were playing without Xavier Cain. Hopefully, Xavier gets back and sort of gets them doing the things they're used to doing. And Sammy Fort and the gang can get rolling.
If they get healthy and they get rolling, you know, Blue Ridge is going to be tough, especially down the stretch.
Yeah. North Cross, and then I think their season ends with 3 road games. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But yeah, they certainly have the tools and pieces to get better and. You know, once they start playing, when you're playing the Division I teams and you're a Division II team, it can look a little different on the other sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's some of the things that you run into at the private school level. And we'll see how Blue Ridge deals with its own kind coming forward. And North Cross, a team that they're very familiar with, that should be fun.
So that gives you a full tilt update on every team. I think we talked about everybody today. We got there.
Yeah.
We got there. We got to everybody. So really appreciate you listening. We got a lot of other big matchups. You got Monticello Albemarle this week. You got Fluvanna Orange. That's a big matchup too. You got Powhatan CHS, a chance for both those teams to kind of get going. And Louisa Western's hanging out there is a big one. That certainly looks like one of the closest challengers to Louisa this year. So we'll see what the Warriors can put together. So thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll be back with you next week.